Our first reading for tonight will come from the Old Testament. We'll be reading from the book of Isaiah, and we'll be reading from chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah, verses 2 through 7. It is found on page 593 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our New Testament reading will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, and we'll be reading verses 2 through 20. And it is found on page 889 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning the child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. And Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. It's the word of the Lord. Well, you've finally made it. We've all finally made it on this very special night. This night that we've been waiting for and preparing ourselves for. And I want to thank all of you for braving this night. You could have been doing many other things. Could have been at home wrapping presents or preparing the meal for tomorrow or enjoying the company of relatives, but you have chosen to be here in this place, and we give you thanks for that. I also want to take the opportunity to thank our musicians, Nancy and others who have been playing for us. We got the word earlier today at 4 o'clock that our musician was ill and would not be able to be in. And so we give God thanks that people were able to step up and be there for us during this this very special night. And this is a special night. Christmas is a special time, an extraordinary time. Many people wait for this time of year all the rest of the year. Children, of course, wait for this year for almost the very beginning of one Christmas season. When one Christmas season ends, they immediately look forward to the next Christmas season because it's such a special time of year. Retailers also look forward to this time of year. It's a very special, extraordinary time for retailers. Most of their sales are made during the Christmas season. And even we, of course, in the church get in on the act. After all, Christmas is still supposed to be our holiday. And so every year in late November, the church calendar leaves what is called ordinary time, and we enter into the season of Advent, a season of preparation and waiting as we anticipate the coming of our Lord breaking into our world. Christmas is indeed a very special, extraordinary time. And yet one of the things that strikes me when reading the Christmas story is how very ordinary it all is. An ordinary couple going about an ordinary act of citizenship in an ordinary, out-of-the-way little town of the Roman Empire. Treated like ordinary people are always treated. We're sorry, but you have no reservations. There's no room for you here, but there's a little place out back, a manger in a barn. You can stay there if you like. An ordinary baby born in an ordinary manger. Nothing unusual or conspicuous about that at all. Ordinary women at that time often gave birth in the most inconspicuous of places. The only extraordinary element in the story is the angel who heralds the good news of the birth of the Messiah. After all, it's not every day that an angel taps you on the shoulder with a message from the Lord. But this angel does just that. But again, the angel doesn't go to any of the credible people. He doesn't go to any of the beautiful people or the extraordinary people. He doesn't go to the movers or the shakers with this divine intelligence. Instead, he goes to ordinary shepherds out in the field. I assume that if you're an angel, you can go anywhere you want. If you're an angel and you have this wonderful news from God, why not go to the Emperor Augustus? Why not go to the Governor Quirinius? But this is not what they do. The angel instead goes to ordinary shepherds. Why does Luke do this? Why on this special night, this extraordinary night, this night when God breaks into our world and into our lives, this night when God comes to be with us, why does Luke take the time to show us all of this ordinariness? Why doesn't Luke do what Matthew does and tell us about the remarkable star that accompanies the birth of Jesus? Why doesn't Luke tell us about the wise kings that travel afar from some interesting, exotic place bearing extraordinary gifts? Why all the ordinariness? Perhaps it's because the ordinary is where you and I live most of our lives. Most of us are just ordinary people living ordinary lives. Yes, I realize that we have our moments, those moments when we shine, those moments when extraordinary things happen to us. Yes, I realize that all of us have our 15 minutes of fame from time to time. But by and large, for most of us, most of our lives are lived in the region of the ordinary. There are no crowds of paparazzi outside of our doors ready to capture a glimpse of us. Our lives are not written about in the prominent gossip columns. We are not likely to be interviewed by Oprah Winfrey or grace the cover of Time magazine. We're just ordinary people going about our ordinary routines, trying to hold our lives together and our families together as best we can. We assume that if anything significant happens, anything earth-shaking happens, that it will be done by someone else. Someone better looking than we are, better educated than we are, better positioned, better connected. Extraordinary people doing extraordinary things, but not us. We're just ordinary. There are bills to pay and clothes to be washed and children to be picked up and parents to visit, all the ordinary things that consume our lives. And yet, despite the ordinariness of our lives, we all have deep, deep inside of us, particularly during Christmas, this desire for something more, something different, something extraordinary. We have different names for what it is that we long for. Sometimes we call it the Christmas spirit. Sometimes we call it the holiday spirit. Sometimes we call it a Merry Christmas. But this is what we are longing for and hoping for during Christmas. And so we hope to find it. Maybe if we decorate our homes a little earlier, or buy the right kind of Christmas tree, or attend the right party, or sing the right carols, or watch the right movies, or buy the right gift, or plan the right kind of family gathering, maybe we will find it. But of course, what we are looking for is not something that we can manufacture on our own. Because what we are looking for deep down inside is a sense of the holy, the sacred, the divine. That's what we were created for. We were created in the image of God. We were created to be in communion with God. We were created to long for God. Luke understands that. Luke understands the deep, deep longing that we have for something extraordinary, for the holy and for the sacred in our lives. And so Luke tells us this story with all of its ordinariness. And he wants us to hear carefully the good news that is at the center of it. To you, he says, to you, the angel says, to all of you who believe that you are just ordinary, to all of you who believe that you are just treading water, To all of you who believe that your life has no real meaning, who believe that in the overall scheme of things, that your life isn't worth very much. For all of you who believe that you can contribute very little to the world around you, can contribute very little to peace, can contribute very little to the joy and justice of the world, to you, on this day, a Savior is born. To you, the God of glory is breaking into this cold, dark world. And this will be the sign. Not a military chieftain, not a Wall Street titan, not a Hollywood celebrity, but a baby. An ordinary little baby. A baby born to an ordinary teenage girl in an ordinary part of the world. A little bitty baby. The angel says, this will be the sign of God breaking into your world. This will be a sign of God's salvation to you. This will be a sign of God coming to be with us. A little bitty baby. An ordinary baby. Just like some of the babies we see around here in this community. A baby. You know, we like babies. Most of us like babies. Babies are cute. They are adorable. They are innocent. They are tender. We like babies, especially anticipating what they might grow up to be. Maybe they will grow up to be a military general. Maybe they will grow up to be a celebrity, a famous celebrity. Maybe they will grow up to be the President of the United States. Maybe they'll grow up to be something extraordinary like that. But not this baby who comes to us on this night. This baby will grow up to be arrested and crucified on the cross. And that's, we are told, how he comes to save us. A little bitty baby. And the angel says, look for this baby, not at the Four Seasons, not at the Marriott, not at any of the swank upscale places that cater to the influential and the well-heeled, but look for this baby in the ordinary, inconspicuous places where ordinary, inconspicuous children are born every day. He's going to be in the manger out back, if you're looking for him, out back with the animals. Just an ordinary baby. That's where you will find him. That's the way that God comes to us on this night. Do you see what Luke is trying to show us here? Luke wants us to understand that what we are waiting for and longing for this night, what we are waiting for and longing for comes to us not outside the experience of our ordinariness, but within it. The extraordinary holy God that breaks into our world on this cold, dark night is the God who not only comes to be with us, but he is also the God who comes to be one of us in all of our ordinariness. Christmas is about God. It is about God breaking into our world. It is about God loving us so much that God said that I'm not going to stay up here in heaven sequestered from my creation, but I'm going to come down in creation and become one of them, become a human being. It's about the humiliation of God. That's the way one early theologian put it. The self-humiliation of God, God condescending to come down to become one of us. It's about God breaking into our world. But it's also about us. Christmas is also about us, you and me. It is an affirmation of our humanity. It is God affirming who we are, who you and I are, not because we are great, not because we are powerful, not because we are doing extraordinary things, but it's God who comes to affirm our humanity as we are. It is God who comes to transform and uplift the ordinariness of our lives. I'm not very musically inclined, but one of the things that I was told about was what is often called a fanfare that used to be played whenever a very important person entered a room. Just a little musical accompaniment that alerted everyone that someone important was entering the room. A king or a queen or a duke or a very important diplomat, whenever they would enter the room, someone would play a fanfare to let everyone know that this is someone who has dignity and worth. Pay attention to them. They're extraordinary people and they're coming into the room. Be alert. Fanfare. In 1942, the composer Aaron Copland wrote a musical piece called The Fanfare for the Common Man. And what he was wanting us to understand was the dignity and worth of common human beings, the everyday people who often go unsaluted, the teachers and the garbage collectors and the babysitters and the mothers. He wanted us to understand that these are people who have dignity and worth. And so fanfare to them. And Christmas, when we celebrate the incarnation, it is God's way of giving a fanfare to all of us. Pay attention, God is saying, to my human creation. Pay attention to all the ordinary people. Pay attention to the people who the world makes no room for. Pay attention to the children that are often neglected. Pay attention to the babies that we often don't see. Pay attention to them because they have dignity and worth. Pay attention. God becoming one of us. Because God has broken into our world, Luke wants us to understand, nothing is ordinary. There is nothing that is ordinary anymore. There's no human being that is ordinary. There is no place that is ordinary. There is nothing that we can do that is ordinary. There is no job that is ordinary. Nothing is ordinary. Because everything has been transformed. Indeed, it is in the ordinariness of our lives, in the ordinariness of our relationships, in the ordinariness in which we go about living our lives, that we are told we have the possibility of experiencing the holy and the sacred and the divine. Luke tells us this story about an ordinary husband who becomes the faithful servant of God. An ordinary teenage mother who becomes the mother of God with us. An ordinary enrollment that becomes the catalyst for God's movement in our world. Ordinary uneducated shepherds who are the first to receive the divine intelligence of what God is doing in our world. An ordinary manger that becomes the locus and the presence of God with us. An ordinary smelly manger. And most remarkable of all, an ordinary little baby who becomes the Savior of the world. In a few days, Christmas will be over. In a few days, we will take down the decorations, we will take down the tree, we will get back to the ordinary routine of our lives. We will go back to work, go back to school, go back to all the things we were doing before the specialness of this season. But the world can never be the same because of this night. Nothing is ordinary, including you and I. We have been made in the image of God. We have been made to shine God's light in the world. We have been shown what it means to be genuinely human by the one who comes in our midst on this cold, dark night. Jesus comes to show us what it means to really be the human beings that God has created us to be. We are called to go out into this dark night, this silent night, and bear witness to the light that shines in the darkness for all to see. To you, to all of you, this day, a Savior has been born. And this is a sign to you. He looks like you and me. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this night. We give you thanks for your great love that breaks into our world on this cold night. On this night when much of the world is embroiled in war and conflict, in this night where people mar the God-given image that you have created us to be in, we are reminded of what the true reason for Christmas is all about. It is your glory breaking into our world, and it is your glory resting upon all of us, transforming us and shaping us and renewing us so that we might once again bear your divine image in our lives. Be with us on this night. Be with us throughout this season. Be with us in the course of our lives as we proclaim the good news of the Savior who has come into our midst to save us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.